We're going to read from Acts 19, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. That's Acts 19, verses 11 through 16. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Alicia. I like this. Now let's fill it in a little more since I gave my announcement about what we're doing. If you can think about it, pray for Tim. Tim is over at Lynn this morning preaching, which if you know is a little unusual for Tim, but they called and they asked Mike to preach. And of course, Pastor Mike's in Hawaii doing his work thing. And so Pastor Mike said, "Well, who should we send?" I said, "Send Tim." Not that Pastor Howie or someone else could have done just as good, but I wanted Tim to get the experience. So think about him and pray for him as he's over at Lynn preaching. Well, today is sermon number 22 as we go through the book of Acts. It's our 22nd sermon in Acts, and we come to an unusual place in Acts, unusual scripture. And to be candid, today's sermon doesn't really focus on any of our four characteristics that we've been looking at very intensely in Acts, those four things that God says he requires of every church. Well, today's really a deviation from that. So we'll have fun with that, I guess, if a sermon can be fun. I think they can be. And saying a sermon can be fun means I have a story. Yeah, which will surprise nobody here except our guests. And my story is this. My story talks about a New York City businessman who at one point decided to move to the country and buy a piece of property. And one of the first things this New York City businessman did is he went to the local feed and livestock store and he told the owner of the store that he wanted to take up chicken farming. And then he asked the owner to buy 100 chicks. And the owner of the store said, "Well, that's a lot of chicks." And the New York City businessman says, "Well, I mean business." Well, he sold him the chicks, and a week later, this new farmer, this businessman, was back at the feed and livestock store, and he says to the owner, "I need another 100 chicks." And the owner says, "Wow, you are really serious about this chicken farming thing, aren't you?" And the guy says, "Yeah, if I could only iron out a few problems." The store owner says, "Problems? What kind of problems are you having?" And he says, "You know, I think I planted that last batch too close together." Yeah. Friends, we cannot grow ourselves by burying ourselves and expecting sprouts to grow. What I mean by that is simply this, is that we cannot become all God wants us to be by burying or hiding behind the walls of the church. Now, Acts 19, 11 through 16, Alicia read it for us. I want to read it again. It's going to be the focal point of my message this morning. So let me read it one more time. And it says this: God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered all of them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Interesting text. And my first statement after reading the text is this. Friends, Satan knows exactly who the true believers are that he has to watch out for. And I want to tell you that there are at least two traits that will bring you to Satan's attention. At least two. Maybe there's more, but two I want to talk about today. The first trait or characteristic you must have is this. You believe in the name of Jesus. And the second one is this, is that you must, and this is maybe even more important, that you live in the name of Jesus. I hope that everyone here this morning takes on those traits that will ensure that you are known by the enemy of your soul. Now, believe in the name of Jesus. We'll talk about this in a minute. Believing is not just talking about believing facts and having head knowledge. We'll talk about that. And the second part, living in the name of Jesus, means we should be living in a personal relationship with Jesus that translates into a public lifestyle. Now, I'm asking you a question I doubt any of you have ever been asked before. Strange question. I think you'll get the meaning of the question. This is it. What are you doing to ensure that your face is on the walls of hell's post office? You get the inference, right? What are you doing to ensure that your face is on the walls of hell's post office? Satan will know your name if you believe in the name of Jesus. Well, in our text, it says, Paul was doing great and extraordinary miracles by the power of Jesus' name. People with cancer were cured, leprosy, blood diseases, mental disorders, blindness, the crippled, the deaf, the mute, and the lame. Paul believed in Jesus. But I want to tell you that Paul's belief was not merely a belief about the facts of Jesus. Historians can believe that Jesus walked the earth some 2,000 years ago. It doesn't mean that they're Christian. Historians can believe in the fact that this guy by the name of Jesus caused quite a commotion back then and had some people following him. Those are facts. Even atheists don't disagree with those facts. Those are historical facts. That's not the belief that I'm talking about. In James 2:19, it says this, "You know there is one God good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Paul had a life-changing faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus' name meant something to Paul, the believer. Now, the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to do great and extraordinary miracles by the power of Jesus' name. They tried. Well, the text tells us what happened. Verse 13, the second part of it says this, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." You see the difference, right? What they said, they didn't say, "In the name of Jesus, whom we believe and whom we preach." The name of Jesus meant something to Paul. It meant very little to the seven sons of Sceva. If Jesus' name meant something to those seven guys, maybe they would have been doing some great thing with God as well. How many people have you heard used in the name of Jesus as some kind of Christian abracadabra? I've heard it used. Friends, the name of Jesus was serious to Paul. Paul's whole life, everything about Paul, every ounce of who he was someone who was trying to emulate who Jesus Christ was. His faith changed his life radically. People, even some people, maybe even in this room, we say in the name of Jesus because we've been trained, because we read it somewhere in the Bible. You pray in Jesus' name. But we pray and people don't get better. No one's healed. Divorces still happen. People stay miserable. Well, the truth is, yes, sometimes God's answer is no. But other times, I think folks don't get the concept behind this whole idea of in Jesus' name. Because to the true believer, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is majesty in the name of Jesus. The Bible says it is the name above all names. We read back in May from Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. The only name by which we are saved is Jesus. It's in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus' name means something to those who have faith and trust in him. And Jesus' name means little to those who do not believe and have trust in him. Let me give you an example and say it this way. A basketball in my hands is worth $9. You put that same basketball in LeBron James' hands, it's worth $99 million. A football in my hands is $11. In the hands of Tom Brady, it's $41 million. A baseball bat in my hand is $30. Dustin Pedroia's hands, $85 million. A tennis racket in my hands is worth $35. In Roger Federer's hands, $23 million. A set of nails in my hands, 13 cents. Hands of Jesus, priceless. The name of Jesus on the lips of a person who has very little faith or doesn't believe is meaningless. The name of Jesus from the lips of a believer who is sold out to Jesus, well, the Bible tells us the mountains will bow down, seas will roar, marriages will be restored. The name of Jesus from the lips of a believer who is sold out to Jesus, illnesses will be healed, the hurting comforted, strength to the weak, fractured relationships healed, churches are grown, people are saved. The devil knows those by name who believe in the name of Jesus.
Born son in that Mary did not know a man sexually, but she was pregnant of the Holy Ghost. Stay with me now. Jesus could not have an earthly father because an earthly father would have given him a sin nature. And if Jesus had had a sin nature, he wouldn't be worthy to die for my sin. So he's uniquely born in that his mother was a virgin with child. And his being the uniquely born, only begotten Son of God makes him eminently qualified to be my Redeemer. Cherubim couldn't do it. Seraphim couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Because he lied and said Sarah was his sister. Noah couldn't do it because he got drunk on the eve of weak instruction. David couldn't do it because he took another man's wife to bed and lied about the adultery. Moses couldn't do it because he got tired of God's people. Jacob couldn't do it because he tricked his brother out of his blessing. There had to be a sinless substitute, and the only one qualified was Jesus. Now, some of y'all look like you're ashamed to call that name. But there's salvation in that name. There's power in that name. There's joy and peace in that name. There's hope and wholeness in that name. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name Jesus. I feel like calling it a minute. Jesus early in the morning. Jesus over in the evening. Jesus late in the midnight hour. There's power in that name. Jesus is on the main line. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. Jesus, the righteous Son of God. Jesus, Adam's Redeemer. Abel's Vindicator. Abraham's Sacrifice. Noah's Ark. Moses' Bush on Fire. Joshua's Battle Axe. Gideon's Fleece. Samson's Power. David's Music. Solomon's Wisdom. Jeremiah's Balm in Gilead. Jesus, Mary's Baby Boy. Matthew's King. Mark's Suffering Servant. Luke's Great Physician. John's Word Made Flesh. Jesus, distinctive in supernatural capacity. Superlative in sovereign majesty. Exclusive in spiritual beauty. There's power in the name Jesus. Some of you act like you're still ashamed to call it. That's because you haven't been in trouble yet. Some of you act like you don't know him. That's because you ain't been broke enough yet. Some of you act like you're embarrassed to call him because you ain't been sick enough yet. But there is a name. There is a name. There's a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue. His love is glory.
Jesus. It's just not a name, is it? I said there are two characteristics or traits that will bring you to the enemy of our soul's attention. One is believing in the name of Jesus. And the other one, I said, maybe is more important. It is living in the name of Jesus. My guess is Satan maybe didn't always know Paul. Because at one time, Paul's life was killing Christians and closing churches. He was zero threat to Satan. And then we read a while ago in Acts that something happened to Paul. We read this in Acts chapter 9, where it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. Friends, Paul was never, ever the same after that very short encounter with Jesus. Everything changed. He went from being God's enemy to God's friend. In fact, in Galatians 2, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who was Paul living for? We see it in our text today in verse 15. It says, one day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know. In Paul I know about, but who are you? The devil was quite aware of what happened to Paul. And he knew Paul. The seven sons of Sceva were living for money, power, prestige, titles. They were no threat to Satan. The devil didn't even know them. The moment you have a life-changing event, a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ, the enemy of your soul now becomes aware of who you are. I heard the story about a six-year-old grandson of a lady by the name of Ruth Kirby, who went to his grandmother and told her that he had been baptized. Now, she knew that her grandchild had not formally been baptized. So she kind of probed the little boy and asked him to explain what he meant. Her grandson said, "Well, last night in the bathtub, I put my face underwater and I thought about Jesus." I hope you see the flaw in that. Living for Jesus is a whole lot more than believing or just thinking about Jesus. I'm sure every single person in this room thinks about Jesus at least occasionally. Paul lived for Jesus. He made decisions based upon what Jesus would do. He thought about what Jesus taught and then made decisions moving forward. What would Jesus do in that situation? Those who live for Jesus are no longer living for power, pleasure, greed, money, pride, popularity, lust. And the truth is, Satan knows who lives for Jesus. The devil knew exactly who the true believers were. Two traits: believing in the name of Jesus and living for Jesus. I hope that everyone in this room will take those traits into their personal life to ensure that your name is known by the enemy of your soul. We should be living a personal relationship that translates into a public witness. What are you doing to ensure your face is on the walls of hell's post office? This is something interesting in our text today that can easily be missed. It's almost comical if it wasn't. Because according to our text, if we take it at face value, apparently Satan is angry with people who use the name of Jesus and have no business using it. How do I know that? Well, verse 16 says this: "Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." Well, that's fascinating to me, that it angered the enemy of our soul that these men were invoking the name of Jesus and didn't know him. But let me tell you, it gets much, much worse than that. Because let me read from Matthew. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers.'" God's words. God doesn't like people invoking the name of Jesus who shouldn't. God tells those folks, "I do not know you. Away from me." You know what's interesting? You know what Satan tells those folks? "I don't know you, but you can stay."
Let me ask you a question. If you knew today was your last day on earth, what would you do? How would you feel? How would you live? Because the truth of life is, you don't know when your last day on earth will be. No human does, only God. It might be today. You might be called home today. So how are you going to live? The Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. Today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know what's to come, but I do know that God is good. I do know that He is love. I do know that He is with me, for me, and in me. I do know that He makes all things work together for my good, so I will rejoice and be glad. And if today is my last day, then I am not going to waste it, because I know where I'm headed if it is. So I'm not going to dwell on what happened yesterday, not going to stress about what might happen today, not going to worry about what might happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I will not allow what other people think about me, say about me, or post about me affect how I feel, influence how I think, determine how I live. I will not live in the past. I will not live in sin. I will not live as who I used to be, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Today! And I don't know what's in store for me, but I do know that He will never leave me, fail me, nor forsake me. I do know that He is faithful, trustworthy, and sovereign. I do know that He has good intentions, good thoughts, and good plans for me. I do know that He is in complete control of absolutely everything, all the time. So I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if it is my last day, then I am not going to waste it, because I know where I'm headed if it is. So I will not let this situation overcome me. I will not let this trial keep me from living. I will not let this pain prevent me from living. I will not let this disease restrict me from living. I will not let doubt, guilt, or shame rob me from living. I will not allow fear to paralyze me. I will not allow anxiety to control me. I will not allow depression to hinder me. I will not fall into temptation. I will not give into the flesh. I will not play into the lies of the enemy. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Today! And I don't know what's ahead of me, but I do know that nothing will separate me from the love of God because of Jesus. I do know that I am saved because of Jesus. I do know that I am righteous, holy, accepted, and sealed with the Holy Spirit because of Jesus. I do know that in all things, I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus. So I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if it is my last day, then I am not going to waste it, because I know where I'm headed if it is. So I will be joyful in my living, intentional in my loving, courageous in my witnessing, attentive in my listening, mindful in thinking, active in seeking, gracious in speaking, solid in believing. I will forgive those who have hurt me, pray for those who are against me, respect those who are above me. I will encourage those who are down, help those in want, bless those in need, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Today, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that today may be the day I see deliverance. Today may be the day I see breakthrough. Today may be the day I see salvation. Today may be the day when my faith is my sight, when my hope is fulfilled, when my prayer is answered. I may see reconciliation today. I may see restoration today. I may see revival today. So I'm going to live in the expectation of His promises, in the confidence of His provision, in the strength of His presence, in the comfort of His peace. I'm going to be Christ, breathe Christ, think Christ, speak Christ. I'm going to give thanks and praise, honor and glory, with fear and trembling, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And as long as I'm alive, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. As long as I'm alive, I'm on mission. As long as I'm alive, I have purpose. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to live this way, all day, every day, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah. Live in the name of Jesus. In Luke, we read, he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." In Romans, we read, "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." And in James, we read, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Friends, the name of Jesus is powerful. God has given us that as believers. We are not to take that casually. And we are to live our lives 100%, the best way we know how, under the power of the Holy Spirit, in the center of God's will, doing what He asks us to do without complaining, without questioning, without hesitating. And just saying, "Yes, Lord." Even without understanding. This next year, as all of you know, could be pretty interesting here. I don't know exactly what God is going to ask us to do. But I do know this year He's asked us to fall in love with Him and with each other. That's what we're praying for. That's what the church board is praying for. That's what your staff is praying for. That we can fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with each other, and then next year, beginning in March, go impact our community with the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are a good God, and you are patient with us. And thank you, God, for the reminder in Scripture today that we have the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, at our disposal when we are in the center of your will. Thank you for that, God. I pray that we would find ourselves living in the center of your will, in the power of your Holy Spirit, loving those you put before us, God, whether they deserve our love or not, but loving them because they are your creation and because you have told us to love them. May we be found to be obedient. So as we prepare, Lord, for this time of communion, I just pray that you search our hearts, God, bring anything to the surface that needs to be confessed, that we confess it and give it to you, and move on in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the church.